Okay, so good morning, everyone. 诸位菩萨，早上好。I have to remember to translate, so please remind me if I forget. I translate for other fashas often, but I don't usually translate for myself, so it takes a bit of getting used to. 今天的开始，当然会两种语言，然后会自己翻译啊，因为不习惯啊，平常是帮别的法师翻译啊，那如果我忘掉的话呢，要提醒一下。So it's cold season, huh? Is this technically cold season? Change of summer to fall. And, the weather here doesn't seem like it's such a drastic change just yet, but at DDRC upstate, very drastic. It's maybe 70 degrees during the daytime, 80, and at night or early morning it could be 40 degrees, even a bit colder. So very drastic change, and so I've brought a cold with me here to share with you all. I hope you don't catch it. You can just, just hear it and remind yourself not to be afraid of colds, but you have to take care of your body, right? When it's cold, you have to wear a bit warmer clothes. When it's drafty, you want to make sure that your body is protected from draft. So, we don't want to worry about our body, but it's good to take care of it. 那今天我是从我们上周的 DDRC 香港道场来的，今天早上开车下来，我带了一个感冒跟大家分享，希望你不会传染，希望你们不感冒，但是呢，你可以把它当作一个提醒，看我流鼻水。就是提醒自己，这段时间的气候变化蛮大。等一下，这个秋天来，温差很大，要照顾身体啊，要注意啊，衣服要穿好，吹风要带什么围巾所以身体要照顾啊，但是呢，不需要担心身体会怎么样。这个不需要担心，就是要照顾他。This kind of attitude of taking care of our body, but not worrying about our body, is actually, we could say, it displays the heart of the Diamond Sutra, which is the topic that I'd like to talk about today. 今天的这个感冒啊，照顾身体，但是不担心身体，刚好这种心态是《金刚经》的主要的一个意思啊，我主要的精神。今天我会跟大家分享一下《金刚经》的一个精要，是《金刚经》的精神呢。So I'll talk a little bit more in detail about how is that the case? How does this example exemplify the heart or the spirit of the Diamond Sutra? I'll talk about it in more detail. But of course, because today is only one lecture, only one talk, and probably the next time I'll be here sharing with everyone will be next year. maybe next spring or maybe next September. So of course we can't go through the whole sutra. Definitely can't go line by line, or even section by section. It's just too much to cover. However, if we introduce just a few key concepts and a few key points, then when you go back and read the sutra yourself, the whole thing will be very clear, and hopefully, you'll find it much easier to understand. 所以呢，因为时间的关系啊，今天只有一次的开始，那我能够再来跟大家分享的机会不多，下次可能就是春天，或者是明年九月，说不定。所以呢，没有办法说把《金刚经》很完整的一句一句，或者是一段一段的说明或者是解释，只能够说把重点的概念重点把它分享给大家。所以你回去自己看金刚经的时候希望会觉得比较容易懂，比较熟悉，也比较活，比较有比较可以觉得容易懂啊。Just out of curiosity, how many people have read this Diamond Sutra before? Could you raise your hand? 多少人有看过《金刚经》或是听过《金刚经》的？蛮多，大部分呢。Okay, that's good. So you may be familiar with it, but how many of you have read the Diamond Sutra and after reading it you feel that, what is this talking about? I have no idea. Or some idea, but not quite. or that you felt, this is kind of like a tongue twister. The Buddha's just playing a game with words, back and forth and back and forth, and how do we really use this? Have any of you felt that? You know, reading the Diamond Sutra, 看金刚经会不会看的时候觉得好像不懂啊，好像佛陀也是讲来讲去啊，一些绕口令啊，一些比较好像玄的意思啊，那看的时候就觉得好像懂啊，但是呢要把它讲出来分享给别人可能是讲不出来，或者是要用的话可能会觉得那到底怎么用啊，佛没有讲一个实际的方法，就是一些概念而已，怎么用金刚经。So today, I hope to explain it in a way which brings it down to earth, or explain it in a way which makes it tangible, so that not only we can understand it, but in our lives, when facing life situations, we can see how the teachings in the Diamond Sutra are not just purely concepts or ideas or an ideal, but within these concepts, there is a method, there is an approach to practice the Diamond Sutra and to, as the title of the talk is, not get stuck in our daily life situations. 所以因此呢，有时候看金刚经还是比较不顺啊，或是比较不知道怎么用在生活上。所以希望今天透过今天的一个短短的分享，让大家知道金刚经里面讲的概念或者是讲的原则是可以用的，是一个实际的一种态度，也可以把它当作一个方法，让我们在生活上不会困住，不会被生活上的一些事情被绑住。所以呢就是讲金刚经大家都大部分听过或是看过，然后在I should speak English first, otherwise I'll get myself confused. The Diamond Sutra is a very important sutra, key sutra for the Chan school, which is our tradition. And who is the great master, one of the first of the Chan masters to really emphasize the teachings of the Diamond Sutra? Do you know? One of the earliest Chan masters. You could just shout out. 在我们禅宗，禅宗很重视这部金刚经，而且有很早很早的一位禅师 是非非常非常强调这个金刚经，那你们知道是谁吗？你可以讲出来。Yeah, 六祖，第六祖慧能。That's the sixth patriarch. The sixth, of the earliest Chan masters, is Master 慧能. And actually, just by hearing one line of the Diamond Sutra, supposedly just by someone else reciting it, he heard it, and he had a complete shift in his state of mind, in his attitude towards life. Such a shift that it changed his whole life direction completely. And he went on to become a great master. We don't have time to get into the story. It's an excellent story, but maybe some other time. Either way, Master Hui Neng and all the masters in our lineage, the Chan lineage after him, really placed a lot of a lot of importance on this Diamond Sutra. 所以呢，这些这位禅师就是六祖慧能。六祖慧能在还没有出家，也还没有遇到佛法之前，就是可以说是第一次听闻佛法的时候，他就是听到《金刚经》的一句话。那听到这句话以后啊，他的心马上有一个很大的转变。那这种心理的转变，让他整个生命有一个完全不同的方向。那他自己的故事啊，生命的故事啊，没有时间去详细的讲，但是你可以回去找一下《六祖坛经》，还有其他的相关著作。So Master Hui Neng placed a lot of importance on this, and our founder as well, 师父 Chan Master Sheng Yan, also placed a lot of importance on this phrase, so much so that in DDM Taiwan, you know of Nongchan Monastery, well the old Nongchan Monastery had a wall at the front gate with this line from the Diamond Sutra.And, you know, this represents the fact that this one line from the sutra, which we'll introduce in a little bit, really represents the heart of the sutra and the heart of Chan teaching. 那我们创办人圣严师父也是非常重视金刚经，而且很重视六祖大师所听到的那句话，而把它画在我们台湾的法鼓山农禅寺，旧的农禅寺的一个叫做照壁，是吗？照壁上有画这句非常精要的一句话，等一下我们会讲。那就是因为这句话是可以代表禅修，也代表禅宗的一个精神。Is it still there with the new Nongchan Monastery? It's still there. The same wall? So, despite the fact that the monastery has been completely renovated, it's a completely new, campus or center, but they left the old wall there. 所以新的农禅寺啊，我还没有看，就是还没有亲自去，看到照片，那法师说那个原来的墙壁啊，照壁还保存它，还保留这个很重要的一句话。那表示说这句话太重要啊，不能忘掉它。Before we talk about the sentence and the content, this is kind of just attracting you, keeping you awake. I won't say it just yet, you have to wait a little bit. But before we get to that, it's also important just to talk a little bit about the background of the sutra itself, and at that time, who was the audience? We 们讲金刚经的内容之前，我刚才讲就是吸引你，希望你继续听，继续听，不能睡着哦，因为还没有讲，所以你在等待啊。 到底那句话是什么？好像知道，但是可能是另外一句。让你专心，等一下讲内容，先讲一下《金刚经》的佛陀演说《金刚经》的当时的一个状况，他的对象是谁啊？So at the time of giving this talk, the Buddha was in the audience of a large crowd of monastics, nuns, monks, also lay practitioners, also, as it says, sentient beings that you can't even see. You can't see with your naked eye. All these different sentient beings were there listening to a Dharma talk. However, one of the key figures of this Dharma talk, which is, it's not necessarily just a talk, it's more like a dialogue. The Buddha and one of the head disciples, the disciple which is called the one who understands emptiness the best, is who? Subhuti. So Subhuti is one of these lead characters in this dialogue who is asking the Buddha about the meaning or the way of practice. 所以当时佛陀讲《金刚经》的时候，在经文里面解释说，有出家人，有比丘尼，有比丘，有出家人，有在家人，还有呢，还有各种各样的众生，看不到的众生也有啊，就是肉眼看不到，也都在听佛陀讲开示。但主要的一个对象之一，就是佛陀在比丘众里面最懂得空的意思啊，就是叫做解空第一，就是哪位啊？须菩提。须菩提就是 Subhuti， 就是梵文，这、就是他的名字。那须菩提在这个时候是先问一个问题啊，佛陀再回答，然后接下来他们有一个对话，所以整个《金刚经》是一种对话的形式。所以我发现蛮有趣啊，不只是佛陀在那边讲讲讲，像我现在一样啊，我讲你们没有办法有太多的回应啊，那是这种对话的一种教法是很棒啊，很有意思啊。So this kind of dialogue is actually quite interesting because it makes for this interaction between the Buddha, the teacher, or the student in a way that it's very lively compared to a Dharma talk like today where I'm just talking. It can be very boring to some people. So there's not much interaction. Maybe a little bit. But this dialogue kind of Dharma talk is something very lively. So when you read the sutra, you could see this whole, how it all plays out. Very interesting. English first, sorry. The first question that Subhuti poses to the Buddha is after just a normal day where everyone goes out to beg for alms, and as it says, they came back from begging for alms, for begging for food, which the monastics at that time did every day. Came back, washed their feet. It says the Buddha washed up, washed his feet, sat down in his cushion, and was just at present with all of the audience. 那这部经的开始的时候啊，就是一个平常的一天，大家是出去托钵，托钵就是出家众出去乞食，请大家供养食物，然后供养完了回来吃饭，吃完了怎么样？要洗碗呢？洗完以后洗脚啊，洗脚就坐下来，刚好大家都在。And Subhuti went through the process of very politely asking a question to the Buddha There's a procedure to that we won't get into, but with great respect, he bowed to the Buddha and asked the first question, which was really, how do we practice? Really, how do we practice? What do we rely on? What can we rely on? How do we subdue our minds? How do we subdue our mind of vexation? This mind that, or this mindset where we experience a lot of agitation, afflictions, emotional turmoil, which we all experience. How do we subdue that? Subuti, 第一个问题就是他先很恭敬地礼拜佛陀，然后这些程序啊、礼拜啊、很尊敬的一些动作，就表示他对佛还有对法有非常诚恳的心。他就问佛陀，他主要问说：我们怎么样修行啊？到底怎么修行？ 到底怎么样来安我们的心？怎么样安住？要安住在哪里呢？然后呢？怎么样降伏？用这个字降伏啊？怎么样子呢？把心中的种种的烦恼啊，就是一些不安，还有种种的情绪的波动，种种的心理上的问题、心理上的困扰。 到底怎么样去改掉它，除掉它？ I wonder, do you want to know, or should we finish the talk here? I think we all experience in our daily life, we have all kinds of difficulties, whether it's at home, at work, or even when you come here. You come here, this is a place of practice. You want to come here to rely on this place to feel some comfort and also learn the method of practice. But I'm sure even coming here, you probably experienced some vexation, huh? Maybe you came here, just wanted to relax, and all of a sudden someone says, hey, come here. Oh, you're just in time. Can you help me do something? You think, oh, I just want to meditate. Can I just meditate for once? Whenever I come, you always ask me to do something. Possible. You just wanted to relax. You just wanted to sit down. But someone needs help. And, okay, we just kind of, we go along with it. But in our mind, maybe we don't feel so happy to help out. So even at a place like this, where there's Buddhas and Bodhisattvas, and everyone's a Bodhisattva, we can still find trouble, still find vexation. 那大家想听吗? 怎么样降伏烦恼吗？还是现在我们就可以结束啊？我去休息，好好的养生，养小感冒啊。那当然，我们想要知道怎么样面对、怎么样处理心里种种的一些不愉快、不安。在家里、在工作都会遇到很多状况。 蛮多的种种的心理的波动、情绪的波动、心理的不安，那甚至于来到这样子的一个道场的时候，也会有烦恼啊。可能心里想啊，我去道场了，去放松一下，去打坐一下，然后好好的安心。然后呢，一进来有人说啊，刚好你来啊，来呀来呀，帮我的忙好吗？ 就是帮我处理这件事情，我们可能会觉得啊，每次我来我就想要打坐，刚好你总是要找我做一些什么事情啊，麻烦呢，可能心里有一些不平衡，或者是呢，可能愿意做，但是呢，有一种叫做什么，怎么形容中文呢？ Kind of just going along with it, 不甘愿, 有一种勉强的心情, 好啊好啊,帮你的忙啊, 连在道场会有烦恼啊, 是逃不掉的。 So Subhuti is asking the Buddha how to master our mind so we don't have vexation, and what can we rely on? And the Buddha gave a very simple answer, very quick, very simple. His first answer was very straightforward. And his answer was actually that you have to generate the Bodhi mind. First thing we have to do is generate the Bodhi mind, Bodhi, or the mindset for awakening. The mindset for awakening to a life without vexation, which includes a attitude that we wish that all people, all beings, also can experience a life without vexation. Bodhi mind has these, you could say, two aspects. One, that we hope we ourselves can be free from suffering, and that sentient beings, all beings, from people to any kind of living being, can experience life without suffering. Now, 佛陀就是须菩提的问题，就是怎么样解决烦恼？那要在哪里安住我们的心？ 那佛陀的回答是很直接、很简单，他的回答就是你要发菩提心吧，你要发心。那菩提心发心发菩提心的意思啊，菩提就是也是梵文Bodhi，他的意思就是你要往想要开悟的方向去，要往一个可以没有烦恼的 生活，往那个方向去啊，因为开悟就是想要解决烦恼嘛。一方面是解决自己的苦恼，那同时菩提心也是强调要想要希望所有的人、所有的众生都能够一样，没有烦恼，那叫做菩提心。 This sounds maybe really big. Maybe something like, wow, if I knew that to get rid of my vexations, I had to wish that all sentient beings also have no vexations. And it sounds like I have to do something about it. Wait a second. Is there another sutra? Maybe something a little easier. Maybe something without this Bodhi mind part. Any other sutras? Maybe we can study that one, practice that one. It can sound a little bit overwhelming when we first hear that. But it really doesn't mean that every single sentient being, you have to make sure you personally save all of them or help all of them. It's not necessarily the case. Rather that your mindset is just that whoever you encounter, whoever you meet, whoever you don't meet, you just have this wish, this vow or aspiration that whatever you do can help them live in a way that's more at ease with less vexation. It's just a general attitude. So no pressure. 所以听到佛陀的回答，要发菩提心，有时候有一点，可能会觉得心里有一点有压力啊，有害怕说发菩提心，要希望所有的众生都能够没有烦恼，好像也是带着那种要我们去做的意思啊。 好像让别的人吧，让出家人吧，让法师们吧，他们发菩提心，我在这边，我发别的心吧，看看有没有什么别的经我可以看，让我修行，给我什么方法，我自己没有烦恼就够了，要度所有的众生很难很难呢，怎么度得完呢？像一个房间里面已经有太多啊，度不了一个。 那何况啊，整个世界、整个宇宙啊，多少众生，不可思议啊！还是不发吧。So we may be intimidated, but again, it's just a general attitude. But there's also something with that generating the Bodhi mind, which makes it genuine, which is the second part of Buddha's answer. Yes, we want to help all beings, all people. Start with just people. Okay? People we relate to the most. We want to have this attitude that all people really can live a life of ease without suffering. This is our attitude. However, at the same time, we have to remember that even when all of these people, all of these sentient beings, one day are saved, are without suffering, without problems, that not even a single one has been saved. This is where we start to scratch our heads with this sutra. On the one hand, you have to generate the Bodhi mind, save all sentient beings. On the other hand, there's no sentient beings to be saved. Interesting. At this point, when you read the sutra, this initial question may arise in your mind. What is the Buddha really talking about? What does that mean? And how does it relate to practice? The佛陀的回答，第一次回答里面有两个部分。 一个是发心，第二个就是发心的同时，要很清楚知道，虽然我们希望所有的人、所有的众生可以没有烦恼，可以活得很愉快，真的很轻松自在，没有烦恼。等到所有的众生都已度过。 都已经没有烦恼之后，佛说，你还要知道，连一个众生都没有度。听完了以后可能觉得奇怪啊，又要我们发心，但是发心之后啊，度过众生也没有度，没有度到，奇怪，是不是白做白修？ Is it possible that you might start to think, well, if not even a sentient being is saved, then is that a waste of time to practice? Is that what this means? I don't think so. I don't think the Buddha would be asking us to waste our time. Do you think so? Think the Buddha would be playing games? Or just using some kind of interesting philosophy to sound intelligent? I don't think so. The Buddha was very practical. So we can explore what is the meaning of that, not being a single sentient being to deliver. So,所以呢，佛陀这种回答听起来好像奇怪，好像有矛盾，又要度众生，又没有众生可度，然后度完以后摆作，好像。 没有用，修行没有用，但是我相信佛陀不会骗我们。他讲开示不是开玩笑，也不是说他要讲一个什么哇很高很玄的理论，让我们觉得哇佛陀真是开悟的，因为他讲的话我都听不懂啊，一定是很高的智慧啊。Actually, sometimes I think it was last week, the Dharma talk. Teacher was saying, you know, sometimes the higher the wisdom, it's almost like when a person really has great wisdom, that means that we shouldn't understand what they say. Kind of like, wow, whatever they say is just amazing. It's just mysterious. They must have great wisdom. But in that case, if they did have wisdom or not, we wouldn't be using it. We wouldn't be practicing it. We'd only be able to generate a kind of faith or confidence, which is useful, but we need to know how to use it. This is the most useful of giving a Dharma talk and hearing a Dharma talk. So again, I'll try to use my little bit of wisdom or borrow the wisdom of the Buddha and the masters to share so that this Dharma talk can become useful. And if it's not useful, then we'll talk after. You can give me suggestions. 所以呢，有时候<咳>我们听开始<咳>听听听听不懂的时候，才会觉得哇，这个人的智慧好高啊，一定是开悟的，因为我听不懂啊，因为他越玄呢、啊，越妙，好像越好，越有智慧。 那这样子听开始啊，有一点点的用处，因为会让我们有一种啊某一种方面的信心，对佛对法会有一部分的啊有信心，认为别人有智慧可以向他们学习。如果是听不懂的，那讲开始也没有太大的用处，因为希望大家在听开始之后啊，可以实际用它。那我会尽我所能用佛陀的智慧，用别的祖师大德的智慧来分享，希望大家可以真的用这些关键的道理，关键的原则。那佛陀说 The Buddha said you need to generate the Bodhi mind, but at the same time there are no sentient beings. Why are there no sentient beings? Well, because if there are sentient beings, then you'd be caught up in self. You'd be caught up in yourself. You'd be caught up in others. You'd be caught up in the idea of sentient beings, many ideas, many beings. And you'd be caught up in the idea of all of these beings, including yourself, having a fixed lifespan, a fixed time for your life. The Buddha said this key point of dwelling is the problem that we want to avoid. Dwelling on sentient beings, dwelling on ourself. So he said, just don't dwell. Generate the Bodhi mind, deliver sentient beings, but don't dwell on it. Don't dwell on sentient beings, don't dwell on yourself. Also, don't dwell on anything from which you see, hear, smell, taste, touch, or anything you could think about or conceive. Actually, the best place to dwell, the place where your mind can dwell, that's the most useful, is not dwelling. 那佛陀的回答里面的意思就是，如果你认为有众生，那你就有问题呀，是错的。认为有众生，就是因为你认为有你自己，有自己的存在，有别人的存在，有种种的众生的存在，还有这些存在有一个短暂，或一个什么叫做叫做受者相，没错，那是他的意思，就是有一个生命的一段时间才存在，这个叫做四相啊。如果认为有我们自己啊，有众生的存在啊，其实是有问题的，因为我们在我们有所住，心里有所住，有所住啊的意思也可以说是有所执着，有所牵挂。那佛陀的回答是直接说，那不要住啊，不要住，不要住你自己，不要住众生，不要住在任何的事情上面，不管是看到的、听到的、闻到的、感觉到的，或者是呢想到的也算了。佛陀直接的一个回答是不要住。 So the Buddha said, generate the Bodhi mind, deliver sentient beings, but don't dwell on it. That's the right attitude. 总说佛陀的回答是你要发心，你要发菩提心，发度众生的心，也要实际去度众生，但是呢不要住，不要执着。 So now we can take some time to explain why. And what does it really mean to not dwell or to not be attached? 我们接下来就再比较详细的说明要不住啊，不执着怎么样做到。那为什么不执着？ 制作有什么问题。 But there's one thing that we should understand when we read the Diamond Sutra. If we read the sutra, we read the text by itself, we need to remember that the Buddha's audience is this audience of monastic practitioners, as well as lay practitioners, who already have a firm foundation in the basic understanding of the Buddha's teaching. And Subhuti was the one who understood emptiness the most. Subhuti was actually a person who was liberated. Did you know that? Subhuti, we could say he's not necessarily asking the question for himself. He's already liberated. He's already resolved his own problems and vexations. He's just asking on the behalf of who? Everybody, including us. He knows, but he knows we don't know. So, out of his compassion, he's asking the question, asking the Buddha to clarify. So the Buddha's clarifying to Subhuti, who's a liberated person, but he's also clarifying to people who, at the time, they were studying with the Buddha. They have a basic foundation in the Dharma. So it's important to know that in the Buddha's explanation, there's some things that are unsaid, that are understood. 那我们听佛陀的回答，接下来的《金刚经》的内容，也要知道，在当时，佛陀讲《金刚经》的时候，他的对象。 这些出家人、在家人都是修行人，大部分是跟着佛学习。那跟着佛学习，也是当然听到其他的佛陀的开示，佛陀的说明怎么修行。那说明是我们人生的事项是什么。<咳>所以呢，他们心里面<咳>已经有这些观念的基础。 还有修行上的基础，所以呢，佛陀的回答是蛮直接的，是有一些没有说出来的，大家都知道的内容，就是基本的佛法。所以在自己在看《金刚经》的时候，可以有这样子的一个理解。<咳> And some of the basic ideas of Dharma, or the basic teaching of the Buddha describing the reality of things, is what? What is one of the most popular concepts that the Buddha is saying again and again? That our life is what? In general. You just say it out loud. Life, one of the Four Noble Truths, life is suffering. Yeah? And in life, all of these situations that we encounter, they're always constantly changing. Impermanence. Because things are changing. If everything is changing all the time, that means that any one single thing, does it have what we call a self to it? If it's always changing, how could it be a self? The Buddha said, well, since it's changing, not only is it changing over time, but it's conditioned by what? The environment, by other things. It changes because of the conditions that are put upon it. Other things changing. One thing changing doesn't change by itself. Doesn't come into being by itself, doesn't change by itself, doesn't disappear by itself. It comes into being, it changes, it disappears, because of what? Other conditions, other elements, what's called causes and conditions. This is the basic teaching of the Buddha. So, 佛陀基本的一些概念，我相信大家都熟悉了，多半是熟悉。那佛陀最初讲四圣谛啊。 是讲我们生命是有苦，也可以说是整个生命有苦的一个实相。还有呢，因为每一个生命，不管是我们自己的生命、别的众生的生命、物质也算，都是在一个不断的在 改变呢，变化的过程，那就叫做无常啊，无常啊，因为无常啊，所以时时在变呢，念念在变呢，所以有没有可能有一样众生，或者是一样物质的有一个独立的存在啊，有一个叫做自我自信，不可能啊，因为它在变呢，而且呢，它的变化不只是自己想变呢，不是我们自己想变就变，而是因为有别的来影响，别的物质，别的众生，别的叫做因缘，别的因缘所引起的变化，所以呢，这个道理就叫做因缘呢。因为因缘，因为无常，所以每一样物品、每样东西，或是每样众生，它没有一个不变的自性，或是没有一个不变的自我在那里。So conceptually, this is the ideas, the basic teachings of the Buddha. And if we were to think of examples, I think it's quite simple. If we were to look at anything in our life, even look at this center here to start with. We say, this place is called Chan Meditation Center. And in our mind, we think of it as just, well, it's just that place over there in Queens. It's about a such and such a distance from my house or your house or wherever you are. And we think, oh, it's the Chan Meditation Center. Chan Meditation Center is just the Chan Meditation Center. It is what it is itself. We have the impression it's just a thing, just independent. But if we look closely at what is the Chan Center made of? Well, if we left the building, but took everything out, took out the chairs, took out the tables, took out the cushions, took out the sutras, took out the computers, took out the nuns. There were no nuns, no monks, none of you, and none of these things here, and it was just this empty building. Would it be considered the Chan Meditation Center? Well, maybe it could be our property, but it wouldn't be functioning as a meditation center. It would be functioning as just an empty building or a warehouse. So there's no self to the Chan Meditation Center. It has nothing about it that is it itself. This is one example. 所以呢，举一个例子说，刚才讲的一些道理啊，或佛陀讲的关于世间的实相。一个例子就是，看我们这个禅宗心，东出禅寺，我们心理上的认知就是有这么一个地方，对不对啊？要不然你不会来啊。如果起床以后没有想到有一个禅宗心，没有想到有一个金刚经的开示，会不会来啊？不会啊，要有这种认知。但是我们认知上啊，会给我们的感觉还有印象，就是说禅宗心就是禅宗心，就是一个地方，就是独立的一个地方。那如果我们比较仔细的看呢，禅宗心这个名词跟这样子的一个地方，或是禅宗心它用什么来做一个禅宗心，它实际上是什么？如果是把椅子啊、桌子啊、蒲团啊、还有经本啊，甚至于把出家人啊拿掉啊，全部拿掉，没有书，没有地方坐，没有办法打坐，也没有麦克风，什么的设备都拿掉，剩下一个空的建筑物啊，那算不算一个禅宗心？可能会想，哇，还算是我们的地方嘛，我们的建筑嘛，名字还在啊，有可能啊，但是它的功能不是一个禅宗心，一个空的建筑物，它的功能可能变成一个什么，叫做仓库，或者是呢，一个养蚊子啊， 养蚂蚁啊养老鼠的地方啊，不算是一个禅中心。所以禅中心没有自己的一个独特的或者是一个独立的存在在那里啊，所以叫做没有一个我，没有一个自我，或者没有一个自信。有一个名字啊，但是名字代表的就是种种的因缘，种种的不同的因素合才有这么一个禅中心。So again, to have a Chan Center, the name is one thing. The name just represents this place, and it represents that this place itself is actually just a collection of different things, a collection of different conditions, physical things, living beings. And only because of this collection of things, which is also quite temporary, do we have what's called a Chan Meditation Center. So in this way, Chan Meditation Center is just a name. It's a false name. It represents a reality, represents that this place itself is just as causes and conditions, temporary existence, temporary self, so to speak. There's no fixed self. There's no permanent self. This is the meaning of this non-self or causes and conditions. And so if we were to look not only as at the external world, at a place, we also look at our own body and mind, which when we do this can be a little bit more sensitive in that, yes, we can agree that Chan Meditation Center is just a name. It's just an idea which represents this variety of things, changing conditions. But what about our own body and mind? This can be touchy. If we were to say, our own body and mind also has this quality of impermanence, also has this quality of not being self, also has this quality of just being various conditions, a collection of things. If someone were to say that you're just a collection of things, you're not, well, you're individual, but you're not you. You're actually just a collection of things. At first we would think, that's very strange. I clearly feel that I'm me. How could I not be me? I am me. You are you, I am me. I'm Chang Wen, you're not Chang Wen. Or maybe actually, wait, there's one more. There's another Chang Wen here. Different Wen, but same sound, huh? So a lot of people always think, they always see me, and they say, hey, I heard you're coming to CMC next week. You're leading a retreat. I say, huh? Really? I didn't know that. I'm leading it. Uh-oh. I better go find out. I think I have other plans. Seems like there's not only one Chang Wen, there's two Chang Wen, and we all get mixed up who's who. So one thing, the name is the name, and just the name in that sense. But even though there's two Chang Wen, I think both of the Chang Wens are pretty sure that they are they themselves. We are we, I am I, she is she. Different. So there's a self there, no? We get that impression. 那讲到物质的无常、无我、没有自信，好像讲起来也理解上可以通啊，没有问题啊，可以理解。这些禅中心它是一个名字啊，它就是很多东西才有一个禅中心，没有问题啊，可以理解。但是我们开始去分析，开始去观察我们自己本身这个人，要去了解他的无常，或是接受他的无常，接受他的无我，有时候是比较是比较敏感，要去面对这个事实，这个实相啊，有时候是不敢面对，不敢去理解，或是不想要去接受无我，也是这个人也是无我的。我们就会认为我是我啊， 你看啊，我就是我，所以我在啊，我是我，你是你啊，我是常文，你不是常文。等一下，好像还是有一个常文呢，还是两个常文呢。我是常文，还有常文比丘尼，大家经常是搞混了，好像是不知道谁要来代参修啊。我是有时候我也是被搞混了，不知道是我要来代参修还是他要来代参修啊，好玩啊。那在名字上啊，可能可以接受啊，好啊，名字不是人啊，我知道啊，常文还是可以有很多的，但是呢，还是有我啊。虽然他是他的常文，我是我的常文，但是呢，还是有我啊，我就是我。我们心理上有这种很固执、很坚固的一个之见，是很不容易去理解无常、无我在这个人的身上的这个事实。But actually, if we look closely and we observe, don't necessarily have to think, even if you observe how physically we're always different. Are we the same? Even if we were the same 常文 or the same so-and-so, we're obviously not the same as we were when we were 5. And I think everyone would agree. But maybe we think, well, when I was 5, I was a little different. But, this year and last year, I'm pretty much the same. Or even if we were able to agree that our body is changing, obviously changing. When we were 5, our skin was very smooth, very shiny. And maybe we think back, when I was 5, I was so healthy, so vibrant, so much energy. Now I am such and such an age. I'm 35. I'm 55. I'm 85. 105. Anybody 105? Recently I heard there was someone who was something like 135, still alive. Maybe it was 125. Obviously we can see that, well, the body is not me. The body is always changing. But my mind is me. That's at least me. You know, when I was 5, I was still, I knew my name, I knew where I was from, and now I remember all my experiences, so how could it be a different mind? It's probably the same mind. 那在我们去再去分析或是再去观察我们这个所谓的自我，我们的身心，去观察我们的身体，会发现身体就是很明显都在变，时时在变，时时在老化。而我们认知上一定是会接受我们5岁的时候跟现在不一样啊。5岁的我就是好像身体当然是不一样啊，然后现在的身体也不一样，所以大概不是我身体的部分呢，不是我。因为5岁的时候是那个皮肤很亮啊，很有精神，很有活力啊。现在呢很明显就是好像啊要垮掉的感觉啊，要拖着身体走啊。我已经多少岁？35岁觉得老啊，55岁觉得更老啊，70几岁、80几岁、100多岁都会觉得哇，很明显都在变化老化。所以身体大概啊，这个我可以接受，大概不是我自己。但是心里呢，大概心里是一个我，因为我5岁的时候的事情我还记得一些，然后呢整个生命的过程啊，都是我自己的经验啊，我记得啊，我累积的经验啊，还是很有用啊，不是说过去的已经全部忘掉啊，这样就很惨啊。我记得啊，是我的经验，所以心理上我们可能会认识啊，还是有一个我在那里啊，还是不变啊。But if we look closer, again, we can't just think about it. We can't just go by feeling. If we go by feeling or go by just an idea, it's very easy just to get stuck in the sense that, well, I exist. There's some permanence here. So if we look closer, and for those of you who practice meditation, I think quite a few of you, and are able to observe your mind very closely, you'll also see that your mind is, what, moment after moment, changing. Not only is it changing, it's not changing just because of itself, it's changing because of the influence that the environment has on us, all different kinds of situations. Our mind changes, our mood changes, our thoughts change. Maybe from one moment to the next, our ideas change. This morning we woke up, we felt terrible. We think about, oh, there's a Dharma talk at CMC, I want to go, but I also don't want to go because it's comfortable in bed. But then we get out of bed, we get to CMC, we hear, it's kind of interesting. So it's worth getting out of bed. Our mindset is changing. Attitude and thoughts from one moment to the next. So can you find the self in there?
比较更仔细的观察，我们会发现，心里也在变呢。我们所谓的我的心，到底是什么东西呢？我的心叫做我的心，时时在变呢。因为我的心就是什么念头啊、想法啊。 感觉、感受啊，还有一些情绪啊，也算是新的一些新的内容。那如果是念念在变，时时在变，像早上啊，可能已经有一个变化，就是说，我们早上起床醒过来就想到啊，今天要去听开示啊，我想去，但是呢。 有点不想去，因为躺在这边太舒服啊，可以不动啊。但是呢，还是去啊。去的时候听开始觉得，好像有一点兴趣啊，有一些收获啊，值得啊。那整个的 mood， 整个的想法有已经有很多的变化。那中间也有可能很多的什么，叫做。 渐渐退退，或者是叫做忧郁，就是又像这样，但是又像那样啊，摇摆不定啊，很好的一个形容，很多的念头在变。那在这些种种的变化、想法、念头、情绪里面的我在哪里呢？ And we may say, well, even though thoughts are not me, we may still think that there's something behind that. I have a soul at least. At least my soul is me. Thoughts change, mood change, feeling change, but there's something even deeper, which is me, which has always been me, and which will always will be me. It's my soul, right? Body, mind, soul. And we take it with us when we die. And wherever we go, whether it's next life or somewhere, that's me. Even if we don't necessarily have such a strong conceptual idea of this, sentient beings just have this sense that there is something, something deeper than the superficial changing thoughts and feelings that's themselves. This deepest, strongest, most stubborn kind of feeling or grasping is what we call self-attachment. And that's what the Buddha is pointing at when he's addressing Subhuti's question.
那如果我们认知上可以接受我们心里的一些一切的活动啊， 种种的想法，种种的情绪，这些很清楚知道在变，然后会认为不是我自己，但是呢，很难就说，虽然比较表面的心理的活动啊，不是我， 众生的心理上还是认为有一个更深更基本的更原始的一个存在，那可能叫它 soul， 就是什么灵魂呢？讲精神，讲什么都可以啊。那有可能心理上不会有一个很明确的概念或是观念，但是呢，感觉上或者是经验上会认为有一个不变的我在我们的身心的背后。那因为这样子的认知，这样子的固执的之见，佛陀就很直接的针对这个问题来回答须菩提。So when the Buddha answered Subhuti, he's pointing out that although we have the idea that I should generate the Bodhi mind, I should help sentient beings, we don't want to be confused and caught in that idea of self. Because in reality, there's no self. In reality, there's just these continuous conditions, changing conditions. Although the body and mind is right here, you can't say it's not here. The body is changing. Mental activity is changing. The environment is changing. This continuous interaction and change, what we call causes and conditions, is a kind of existence. You could say it's existence, but it's a changing existence. It's a conditioned existence. And we also say that it's an empty existence. It can't really be described with a name in words or in concepts. This reality, this change, this interchange, this cause and conditions, this selfless existence, this temporary selfless existence, can't really be described. Once you describe it, we get the impression that it's again self. It's again permanent. So reality is empty of these names and words. And any names or any words that we use, just for convenience. They're useful, but they're not reality in itself. And so we call them false names, empty names. 所以呢，因为身心环境通通在变，都是在一个变化不已的过程，也是在一个因缘和合，因缘因为因缘而生，因缘而灭的一个过程，就是没有我，也没有众生。所以呢，虽然讲我，讲众生，我要发菩提心，我要度众生，你要小心哦。如果你是真的认为有你，有众生的实际的存在，是有问题的。因为佛陀所讲的无常无我，不可能用语言或者是名相名字去理解它。所谓的实相 reality， 所谓一切现象的实相，是没有办法用语言去说明它，去理解它。你一用语言说我众生，然后修行要度众生，就是会变成执着在我，执着在他，执着在这个过程。那有什么问题啊？执着有什么问题啊？ So what's the problem with attaching? What's the problem with words and language? Well, within the Diamond Sutra, we can see thatthe way the Buddha answers all these different questions and the way this whole dialogue continues in the Diamond Sutra is that the Buddha is using words, is using language, is answering a question. He even says Subhuti, right? Calls Subhuti's name. He talks about himself. He calls himself the Tathagata.
However, there's something very different about the way he views these words and language, concepts. He views them and experiences them without attachment. He knows that words and language is empty. If he didn't know, like ordinary people, ordinary sentient beings, when we think of ourselves, when we think of others, when we think of what we have to do, we get into trouble. This attachment to our ideas of ourself, of others, of what we have to do, often brings us a lot of anxiety. For example, maybe you consider yourself a Buddhist, a practitioner, and you think of what you have to do. Maybe you're doing something here for the center. Maybe you're doing some other kind of work, charity work, or work of helping others with the practice. Isn't it true that we often have anxieties about, am I able to do it? Am I able to help these people? Am I qualified to do it? And it's so difficult doing this work, being a bodhisattva. Sometimes I just don't want to be a bodhisattva. Can I just take a break? 1 week, can I just not be a bodhisattva? Can I just not generate the bodhi mind? And then people will leave me alone. They won't ask me to do anything. Just have a sign. Excuse me, this week I am not a bodhisattva. Don't ask me to do anything. I just want to put everything aside. I think oftentimes in the process of doing this work, of sharing the Dharma, doing volunteering, even us monastics doing our work, we often think of the list of things we have and the pile of things on our desk and we think, when am I going to finish being a bodhisattva? At least finish this pile. This often brings a lot of anxiety, a lot of stress. The bigger the pile, sometimes the more stress we feel. And we can't wait till the pile gets smaller. Can't wait to go on vacation where nobody knows I'm a bodhisattva. Having the idea of being a bodhisattva, of having to do the work of the Dharma, having to help others, can be a burden when we're attached to these ideas of self, other, the bodhisattva path. So, 执着的问题在于 当我们知道我们是一个菩萨, 我们是发心菩萨, 我们是发想要帮助人, 离苦, 帮助人没有烦恼, 的时候啊, 然后做种种的一些好事情的时候, 我相信, 因为很多人, 在场的, 都算是菩萨吧, 然后很多是在, 可能在我们这个团体里面, 或者是在别的一些团体里面, 做一些善事, 做一些利益人的事情, 做一些慈善的工作等等, 我相信, 会觉得有一些压力, 有一些忧虑, 忧虑说, 我知道我是菩萨, 但是可以不做菩萨吗? 至少休息一下, 至少一个礼拜我不要做菩萨, 或者是一段时间, 我就穿一件衣服, 衣服上面写说, 对不起啊, 我这个礼拜不是菩萨, 请不要找我做事, 感谢, 感谢配合, 我是挂一个标识啊, 今天不做菩萨, 明天再说, 可能就是说, 真的想要休息, 真的想要不要做, 因为做的话呢, 自己要做菩萨, 又是有很多人需要你帮忙, 帮忙的时候, 好像很累啊, 事情是做不完啊, 尤其是, 来护持一个团体, 或者是连出家人, 我们现在的汉传佛教的出家人, 很忙哦, 对不对啊? 哦, 好忙啊, 说不定他的桌子, 那个办公桌上面, 有一叠的, 这么高的什么纸啊, 就是事情在等着他, 那不管是出家在家, 看到这么多的事情, 心里会想到, 啊, 惨啊,
真是做不完啊，做菩萨真辛苦啊，希望至少可以休息一下，不做菩萨，那这些压力可以不在啊。我想要去一个，去那个大家都不知道我是菩萨的地方，我要去休假，去什么岛啊？什么巴哈马岛，什么没有菩萨的岛去休息，好好的，不要有这种压力。Possible that quite a lot of us have this pressure, and where does that come from? Comes from attaching to the idea of I'm a bodhisattva and I'm so busy, I have to do so much, and there's so many of these people waiting for me, and they're everywhere, I can't escape. This is not necessarily coming from the external environment. According to Buddha Dharma, this is a creation of the mind. This is attachment to false names, to ideas, ideas of ourself, ideas of others, and ideas of what we're doing. And this attachment to these ideas becomes a burden. So, the Buddha says, just don't do that. Don't dwell on the ideas of being a bodhisattva, but you still have to be a bodhisattva. Still do what you have to do. Take care of people. Do all kinds of work. But it doesn't have to get stuck in your mind. Right? When you're not in the midst of doing it, you don't have to be thinking, ah, there's so much to do. Or, when you finish, you don't have to think, ah, finally finished. Or, I did quite well that day. I did my bodhisattva work quite well. I think I'm moving up in the stages. What is this? It's probably at least the sixth bhumi. At least. We start to conceive of what we're doing. It becomes a burden. Our mind becomes agitated. There's no need to do that. But at the same time, we could still engage in our bodhisattva's work. 所以佛陀的回答的主要的意思就是做菩萨还是要做，而且努力的去做菩萨行，但是呢不需要去挂碍啊，不需要老是在想我在做什么事情啊，事情做多少啊，做得好不好啊，等一下要做啊，哇很累啊，或者是做完以后哇很轻松，做得很好啊，我做菩萨其实啊不想要自赞毁他，但是我做得太好啊，然后别人还是差一点呢、啊、我还是做一个做菩萨做得很好啊，大概是第几地啊，大概是第六地吧，没有说完全解脱，但是呢一直在升，我一直升上去啊，还是不错。佛陀说你这些想法不需要啊，这个部分不需要啊，不需要挂碍做菩萨做得好不好，做得多少，还是努力去做，努力去帮助人，帮助众生，但是呢执着的部分可以不要啊。因为啊一方面你的体验上就是有一个不安的心，不安的心是因为不了解不发现，或者是呢忘掉了这些一切的菩萨行，我们自己本身然后我们帮助的人都是无常的，都是因缘的，那执着他做什么？And the Buddha is saying that, well, doing the work of a bodhisattva, we continue to do it. We just don't need all that extra attachment, extra mental activity of worrying about doing what we have to do or being very prideful about how well we've done something. But to continue to do it without this forgetfulness, forgetting that, well, whatever we do, whatever action or activity of a bodhisattva that we do, we ourselves, those that we're helping, are all changing. They're all just conditioned. They come about because of different conditions without self. So what's the purpose of attaching to them? What's the purpose of having this get stuck in our mind? So this concept is called the emptiness of the three activities. It's maybe difficult to translate, but the emptiness of the three processes, the three activities. 这种实相或这种道理 叫做三轮体空啊, 应该是听过吗? 三轮呢, 轮的意思就是一个过程, 一个运作, 不停地在运作的我, 他, 还有这些菩萨行, 一直在变, 一直在进行, 但是呢, 在进行的当下, 是空的, 所以把它摆在心上做什么, 就给自己麻烦。 So since these three processes, these three things of ourself, those who are helping, and the very work that we're doing is at all the time changing, conditioned by different things, why should we attach to it? If we do, it actually just brings ourselves trouble. So if we can understand this much, then when you read the Diamond Sutra, already it becomes very straightforward, very easy to understand. And just to introduce a few terms that's used in the Diamond Sutra, because again, the sutra is, we could say it builds upon the basic foundation of Buddha Dharma. So actually, within the Diamond Sutra, I may be incorrect, but I don't think the word impermanence appears. Impermanence? Even causes and conditions, that phrase, doesn't appear. The Buddha doesn't mention it that way. But does it mean that he's not talking about this reality of things? Of course not. He just uses different terms. So I'll just very briefly introduce these terms so that when you read it, you just see, it's the same thing. Same thing as impermanence. Same thing as causes and conditions. Empty of names, or that the names of things are empty of reality. And it'll become very clear, almost like listening to a piece of music. 所以呢,虽然这些比较基本的道理啊,或是基本的佛法的概念,无常,无我,好像在《金刚经》里面也没有一次的无常这两个字,好像没有。 然后呢,因缘这两个字也没有。没有这个词,这个名相啊。但是呢,是不是等于说佛没有讲这些实相的道理?不是啊。佛陀就是用不同的说法,不同的名相。那接下来就介绍一下,所以你回去的时候去看《金刚经》,你会发现其实基本的佛法,佛陀 还是把它表达出来,就是表达法不太一样。然后你看的时候,就会看得更熟悉,就会觉得,哇,一看的时候,就会觉得好像听音乐,就那么的自然,能够理解它。And just briefly, because of time, is that the Buddha didn't use the word impermanence, but he used the word formless. Not impermanence, but formless. That all forms are changing. There's that one line, very key line, that anything that has form is actually illusory. If you're able to see the formless nature of forms, then you see the Buddha. Then you know what the Buddha is talking about. 再举几个例子,因为时间不多。在《金刚经》没有讲无常,但是呢,讲无相。无相,相就是一个木字旁,这是说什么旁啊?木字旁,两个也是木字旁,右边是眼睛的那个木啊。相应的相,或者是形象的相,那个相。 那他的意思,因为中文听起来好像无相就是没有什么相,没有什么东西,不是。他的意思 也就是无常啊。在《金刚经》里面有一个很重要的句子啊，有没有？凡所有相，皆是虚妄。大家都很熟悉啊。它的意思啊，虚妄的意思是所有的有形象，但是不只是形象啊，所有的现象啊，包括生理相、心理相、环境的相，什么相都有啊，一切的现象是在变的，虚妄是变的意思。So this is one example and key to know that this word form in the Diamond Sutra represents everything from physical forms, mental forms, our body, our mind, the environment. All these forms are actually illusory, changing. This is really the basic idea of impermanence.Other terms are illusory, formless, false. Again, the Buddha is just using this different terminology to help us see this basic principle of the way things are, that they're really ungraspable. If we try to grasp onto them, like we described earlier, we just create suffering. We create a sense of agitation. And in this way, practicing the Bodhisattva path can be very tiring.Not just physically tiring, but mentally tiring. Because we put and keep all that we're doing in our mind, and it really can weigh us down. The Buddha is saying, since everything is really formless, you have to still engage in your life, engage in your practice of helping others, but just be careful not to keep it in your mind. And you'll be fine.You'll find a way to dwell at ease. 所以佛陀用各种各样的说明主要在金刚经用无相这个词来代表一切现象的一个变化不已，一个因缘的状况。那因为有这样子的实相，我们执着什么？身体、心理、环境，执着我们自己，执着我们自己行菩萨道，执着别人得到我们的帮助啊，如果我们执着它，就是会变成一个很累的菩萨，身体累啊，心里很累的一个菩萨，叫做疲倦大菩萨。这样子的行菩萨道是蛮辛苦的，但是佛陀是提醒我们，还是要行啊，还是要做，但是做的同时啊，就是小心不要把你的菩萨道啊，不要把你自己啊全部放在心理上，给自己一种负担就行了，就解脱了。我至少很安心，可以安住在行菩萨道的道路上，就轻松了。So most of the Diamond Sutra is really just reminding us of this principle to practice the Bodhisattva path without dwelling on the Bodhisattva path. How do we actually do it? Well, the Buddha doesn't describe that in such clear detail. For someone like Master Hui Neng, all he needs to hear is that sentence, and he himself can completely change his perspective and be able to drop that burden of the Bodhisattva. As for us,We probably need some more practice, some more explanation. How do we do that? Well, of course, I encourage everyone to meditate. Meditate however you feel comfortable, but engage in, we really need some kind of formal practice to get a good foothold on how to be a bodhisattva at ease. So, of course, I encourage everyone to come to the activities here to practice, also to come up to DDRC,And in the beginning, we need to realize how we are dwelling on form, how we are dwelling on ourselves, before we can learn how to not dwell. It's a process, not necessarily instantaneous. So to learn that process, we really have to do the work. But again, we can do so with a mind at ease. So I recommend everyone come to these practice activities. This is where you learn how to...be a bodhisattva who doesn't dwell on being a bodhisattva. 所以呢，怎么实际的运作呢？怎么实际的修行呢？怎么样子的不住啊？怎么样所谓的无住生心呢？怎么样子不执着的，但发菩提心，行菩萨道呢？我们要修行啊，也可以从打坐开始，也可以从各种各样的修行活动开始。在我们这边东出禅寺，还有呢，在我们香港道场也有很多活动。那这个修行的过程是从，还是从有相啊，还是从住相，还是由我开始啊？我们要先发现我们执着在哪里啊，要发现我们的我是什么，才能够真正的理解到怎么样去不住在它的上面，不住在行菩萨道的上面，而作为一个很能够安心，很能够欢喜的行菩萨道的菩萨。 So I think that's it for today. I encourage everyone also to go back, take a second look at the Diamond Sutra, see how you read it, see what it does for you, see how you absorb it, see if it becomes more clear to you. And also, 师父has a book, small book. What's it called? What's that? 金刚经讲记啊，还有，一个是金刚经讲记吧，一个小本子小册子。you can go take a look at that. 师父 explains section by section in more detail. 所以呢，还是建议大家修行，也建议鼓励大家回去看金刚经。在看的时候，因为听完这今天的开始，会不会有不同的一个理解或不同的体验？自己看看原文有没有什么不同的发现，也可以去参考我们师父写的一个小册子，就是《金刚经讲记》啊。And that's it. We'll finish here for today. Thank you, everyone.